Just wondering in terms of what the public have access to, will they be able to see some of the mapping information on the public side of the site?
We haven't gone through the detail of it, but with respect to information about properties other than their own property, they'll be able to see some, but not very much information, because compliance with the Privacy Act will strip most things out. But with respect to their own farm, they'll be able to see all of the details about their own farm, including a map with the aerial imagery sitting in behind it.
Okay. Because it seems, although the focus obviously is biosecurity, it seems like there's a huge amount of valuable info there just on land use, all sorts of things that could be used for all sorts of, it could be plotted on Google Earth or all sorts of quite cool uses of it, but privacy concerns at the moment would sort of prevent that from happening.
For information that's already in the public domain, that will be made available under a data sharing agreement, but with respect to private information, personal name and address, contact details, stock and crop, that'll only be available for biosecurity and emergency management.
Okay. But stuff like land use, whether it's forestry or exotic or whatever like that, that would be...
So that's already in the public domain. Yep.
What sort of feedback have you had from farmers? Now, we've seen the ongoing debate about NAID, and part of that is the cost sort of factor, but also, I suppose, there are some elements that have been concerned about the privacy side of things. So what sort of feedback have you had from farmers about this and the link, potential link between NAID and the farm online?
So the feedback we've had about this is farms on, they see farms online as being a really important initiative. They want MAF to be able to successfully manage outbreaks, and they're looking forward to it.
Okay, so you haven't had that same sort of debate going on as we've seen with NAID?
Farmers have wanted to know what it's for and how we'll be using the data, and so in terms of using the data for biosecurity, and asking the questions and getting reassurance that their privacy will be respected, been the main things of interest to them.
And you've been able to reassure them on
this? Yeah.
Who have you been speaking to on the farmer side of things?
So we have been in communication with most of the industry organisations around Wellington and elsewhere in New Zealand, and Animal Health Board has also given us the opportunity to present at their TB-free meetings, which provides a cross-section of cattle and deer farmers across the country.
Has there been any pulling together all the information from different sources so that you've got it all in one spot? Now, are you able to also incorporate any information that isn't currently available out there, and new information that might be useful to you?
So we've done a lot of analysis on what the best data sets are, and that data needs to be available, and the supplying party needs to be able to supply the data to us while respecting the privacy of their constituents. They can't use the data for things other than their own purpose of use. So for the data that is available and people are able to share, we believe we've got the access to the best sources, and 90% on day one is pretty impressive.
When you get that data from the places where it is currently and you take it into your database, will you then maintain it and keep it up to date yourself, or will you still be dependent on the originating sources to keep updating it for you?
We take ongoing feeds. For example, LINS data, Land Information New Zealand, they update the land parcels every month, so every month we'll be getting a new feed from them.
Farmers can update their own information as well.
Yes.
And is that information being checked?
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
how?
Well, InFarms Online will have a range of data sources to us, be it from LINS, from the rating information data, from data supplied by partner applications, and it'll be a case of, does the update that they're suggesting make sense? And if it's inconsistent with those other data sources, we'll be able to spot that.
So one thing I just can't help having a vision of is the chap near Fielding who was killed in the gateway of his drive. Mm. And I'm thinking how this is a really powerful set of information about who's doing what and where. And I just wondered, have you had anyone like the police look at this?
We have had conversations with the police, and they are particularly interested in the rural address information.
Yeah.
Nationally, there are some challenges with the accuracy of rural address information, the physical address, and Farms Online will help.
But it makes it more available to people. That's a problem. I'm saying that's a threat.
But on Google Earth, you can
I suppose.
You can't
it's already there. Right.
It's already there for that sort of thing, and for individuals. Whether an organisation is accessing the restricted data or the public domain data in Farms Online, we will be signing up data sharing agreements with those entities or organisations, and there's quite a few steps to that to ensure that the data is being used appropriately.
There was going to have to be legislative change. Has that actually happened?
No, we're expecting the amendment to the Biosecurity Act to go through in the middle of next year.
Middle of next year?
Yeah.
After you've gone live?
Yes. So what the amendment to the Biosecurity Act enables is it enables us to override the Local Government Act. Prior to 2004, it was possible to access rating information data in log form, and this is no longer available other than in the event of an emergency. Rating information data is a really important source of data. Councils collect rates from ratepayers, and so the data is of really good quality. The changes to the Biosecurity Act specifically unlock that. In terms of, with respect to the rest of the data, Farms Online is like any other system that's got a purpose of use and is managing that data in conformance with the Privacy Act. So what that means is we've got a purpose of use that the people whose data is in Farms Online can reasonably understand what that data is being used for, and that's acceptable to them. You can operate a system such as Farms Online without a legislative backing. And so that's how come we can go live in March.
What sort of resource for this is going to be a math run, math by security operation, isn't it? So what sort of a resource is that going to take to keep it going?
So in terms of physical bodies, Philip and Jane will be the two people managing it in the math by security sense, and Datacom, I mean is the data maintenance centre is
7 or 8.
Yeah, it's that order of number.
Are they contractors?
Yeah.
Where are they based?
In Wellington.
And where will the call centre be based?
That's Wellington.
What would the motivation be for farmers to go in here and put in fake information? Like the checks, what would someone gain out of that?
There won't be much for a farmer to gain putting in fake information, and the all of the information that farmers put into Farmers Online via the website, it doesn't go directly into the database. It's actually verified by the Data Maintenance Centre before their recommendations are accepted.
How do you ensure that it's only the farmer putting the information up about their farm and not someone else?
Not quite on top of the details, but there'll be an authentication process to verify that the right people get.
Correct. We're working with the Department of Internal Affairs, and we're going to be using the iGov logon, and that'll be the process for each party to authorise themselves to ensure that they only go onto their part of the application.
Will you be keeping history? So when the land use changes, will that all be recorded too?
Absolutely. That's really important. And it's also important for supporting Nate. If Nate's ever tracing back a long incubation disease, it's not who owns the farms now, but what did the farms look like 5, 10 or 15 years ago. So we absolutely have to have that history.
And one of the other sources of data is that Animal Health Board. Will your records be incorporated into the system as well?
The AHB has a very good database of information on cattle and deer farms, and anyone that farms cattle or deer is required to register a herd with the AHB. So given that we have a good data set and we're very supportive of Farms Online, we're now preparing to transfer some of the information through to Farms Online. So there's some particular things that we're going to pass across. But before we do that, we're writing to every one of the herd owners and explaining what we're doing, explaining Farms Online, and also giving them the chance, if they don't wish that to happen, for them to be able to opt out of that process. But you know, we'd expect the majority of farmers would be very keen to have their data accurate, not only to support TB and the program we run, but also just for the biosecurity benefits that they'll receive.
What did you need to ask before you did that?
Well, I guess any information that's relating to a person is personal information, and as such, the Privacy Act must be respected. And if you have cattle or deer and the location where you are linked to your contact details, that's personal information. So while most people, I'm sure, would be quite happy for that to be passed across legally, and to respect the fact that we've obtained that information using our powers under the Biosecurity Act, we have to then go back through and give inform people and give them a reasonable right to opt out of that process. So people are getting letters now, and there'll be more during the month, October. So we've sent out 20,000 already, and more going throughout the month.
How much does that cost?
I think it's $1.40 for a letter, Kai. Is that the send it out, something like that.
Yes.
But there'll be a very big benefit in avoiding duplication of databases. The TB scheme, the Animal Health Board, has maintained our current records all on our own, but we're aware that other people have been doing exactly the same, and so the concept of having a shared repository of accurate information will actually not only benefit what we do in terms of accuracy, but it will reduce our costs and make the whole biosecurity system more efficient for New Zealanders. So, as I say, we're very supportive.
The technology that you're using to manage this repository and the database and all of that, where has it come from? Have you been able to take something from overseas, or has it had to be developed here?
So we looked at existing solutions to see whether there was anything out there that would meet our requirements and actually work with the New Zealand data sources, and we came to the conclusion that we needed to build a new system to support that.
How long did that take to build the new system?
We started cutting code in May of this year, and the majority of the coding will be finished in December or a little bit afterwards.
What's the cost of all that?
So the capital cost of Farmers Online is $3.1 million. That's all up the application and the business establishment.
And it's all on budget?
Yep. All green.
So if you want to access some of that public information, you have to use it for a biosecurity-related purpose, is that right?
No, you can. The public domain data is already in the public domain, and so you don't have to use it for a biosecurity purpose.
Okay.
But you will still need to enter into a data sharing agreement.
Okay.
That,
to get it in a format that you need it, and to pay for you to be able to provide it that way?
Payment will only be at the cost of transfer.
Okay.
So it'll be a nominal charge.
So you could essentially get some of this type of information for a land use information type service that you wanted to supply or put out there on the web for free or something like that?
With respect to the underlying image that you're talking about, that's an image which we have licensed from elsewhere,
sure,
and we'll need to respect our contracts with the providers.
Yeah, but the data itself you can plot on Google Earth or Google Maps or something else as you're starting to see a lot of now.
Not sure I'm quite following the question.
So if you wanted to, you know, there's a big push towards data visualization of all sorts of data sets, and that's increasingly information. So if you wanted to say to the rural sector, maybe the media might want to provide this and say, hey, do you want to look at the land use in Waikato? Here's this information. This is the type of land use in Waikato plotted on Google Earth or Google Maps or something like that.
It's not an area we'll be focused on.
Yeah, but you would be able to buy that information off you or gain access to use it for that purpose.
You would be able to access the public domain data, but the usage is more likely to be something like a meat company, which is running a market access scheme.
Mm-hmm.
It already has the private details of their suppliers in their system, but what they don't have is geospatial information about the property, so that's more the context that it'll be used in.
Right.
Will this end up being you? I was in Japan for the tours that went over there a few months ago, and someone was saying that what they do over there is you can scan a barcode of meat in the supermarket and on your cell phone get a picture of the farm. So will this kind of information eventually end up in that kind of system?
They really value that.
They really value it. And I think sometimes you can even see a picture of the farmer.
Where industry where the farming industry groups are looking to do that, Farms Online will be available as a shared service to support it, but they'll be driving that.
That's all part of the big international move to where people can actually make far greater connections between where their food comes and where it ends up in the supermarket.
You know, when you say that Waiheke thing happened in 2005, have you pretty much been running really fast ever since then to get this going? I'm trying to get an idea of the scale of this. I mean, has it really been a five-year task to get to this point?
Right. So in terms of in 2005 making immediate changes to our systems and procedures, absolutely. And in terms of this project itself, just got to check my memory, this project started 3 years ago.
07.
Yes, that's correct.
Beginning, middle?
In the middle of 07.
And it's been flat out since then?
You have to put your case for funding first.
So it's processes.
And get that approved. And there's been a lot of design work going into getting this project right. Mm. You asked earlier about are we on budget? Well, we are on budget, we are on time, and we are to quality. Mm. But there's been a lot of analysis and planning that was done to ensure that occurs.
And what are your international contacts saying?
We haven't actually shared the system with international contacts, but we have gone through a phase of looking to see what was out there overseas and what other jurisdictions are doing. Probably the most similar system is the PIC system run by the different states in Australia. But New Zealand has its own data sources, and Farms Online is all about leveraging the data sources that are available in New Zealand. And unfortunately, every jurisdiction in the world manages their land information using different systems to different data standards, and so we needed to put something together that would work here.
You mentioned somewhere that lifestyle, horticulture and forestry blocks are underrepresented. I could probably guess why, but I'll ask you.
It's been because most of the interactions supporting Agribase, which has been our current supply, has been with the animal sector.
Mm. I don't know much about Agribase. What is that?
So Agribase is a product that is owned and operated by Assure Quality.
And that's why it's focused on the livestock sector.
Yeah.
Because of the
I do have a question. The identifiers. So you are somehow going to decide how to identify every farm block in New Zealand.
Yep.
And that's going to be completely new, isn't it?
Yes.
So have you decided how to do that?
So, yes, we have. And the identifier is based on both the territorial local authority boundary that the farm sits within, and is also based on the New Zealand postcodes, because both of those things are very easy for farmers to remember.
And they were just updated recently, weren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say that. So how would you search this? If you wanted to find out a farm in the public domain, how would you search for it? Would you need to know the ID?
So, if from public domain, yes, you'd need to know the ID. If you're part of the biosecurity system, it's much easier, of course.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. So that makes it a bit difficult, really.